Enough. The sermon this morning, using both of the scriptures, and Hadley had a big job, so she recruited an assistant there. Did a pretty good job, her assistant, but Miss Stephanie. But Jesus is meeting with the Gerasene demoniac, and it's an interesting moment there. They gather, but as we get into that, we need to learn a few things and be aware of them, okay? How many of you knew that if you're Jewish, you cannot eat pork or bacon? Okay. Pigs are ritually unclean. So here we have a bunch of pigs. That's what the swine herd is. You know, it's all of the gathering of the pigs that are there. And in this incredible gathering, Jesus goes right in the middle of it. Now, if you were a Jew listening to this scripture, it would have just thrown you for a loop, because everyone would know you don't do this. You don't go amongst swineherds. You don't go amongst pigs. You don't go amongst any of that. So then there's the scene that continues from there. And the demons say, "Don't cast us out. Let us go into the pigs that are here. Let us go into the swine." And so Jesus allows that. He says, "All right." And the demons come out of the pigs, come out of the demoniac, and they go into the swine, and they rush over a cliff. Now, the idea is basically that if all of a sudden you're possessed by a demon, it startles you, I guess. And so here is all these unclean pigs, these swine, startled, and they rush about, and then they're rushing in panic. They go right over a cliff. And they go in the ocean and drown. There's a bit of humor here, and the Jews would have all smiled at the idea that here all these demons rush into the pigs so that they're not cast out completely, and here they are now drowned. The stained glass window is a little bit hard to see, but you can see the demoniac, and out of his mouth are coming little tiny demons, I guess. And the swine are there, and you see to the right, can you see the waves? They're on a cliff, and so the whole picture is encapsulated there in the stained glass window. I have to share with you a fascinating story. I was searching for something, for an illustration of this, and came across instead a video. And the video, it shows Australian diving pigs. How many of you have ever heard of Australian diving pigs? This guy, Shelley Rayburn has actually heard of this. This is wonderful. And this guy, and this was an Australian video. I couldn't copy it and bring it to you, but he goes to fairs and he has this famous diving pig. And she goes up this ramp onto this platform and leaps on the water and runs out of the water, and I think she gets a treat. Then she runs around and they move the platform back until she's making these long diving leaps into the water, swimming up and taking up. If you get a chance, go and check out Australian diving pigs. After having seen the movie Babe, I just feel like pigs get a bad rap here, and we don't want to go down that. The point of the pigs, the point of the swine, all of that, Jesus is reaching out to unclean people in unclean places, in foreign lands. He's reaching out to pagans and those others. Now, you saw the very first slide that we started with. It showed a pile of wheat. How many of you know anything about wheat and wheat piles? What is a sheaf of wheat? Are there, Larry, you see the picture up there, are there three sheaves of wheat stacked there, or is the whole pile a sheaf? Looks like a whole pile. Thank you very much for that. I didn't know either. I'm not enough of a farmer to know what a sheaf of wheat is, but you need to have some kind of an idea, because that's what an omer is. Omer is a sheaf of wheat, and the reason I'm telling you this is because of the manna. How many of you have ever heard of the manna in the wilderness? God sent it to the Hebrews. You remember Moses, the people who were in Egypt, and God sent Moses, and Moses brings them out, let my people go, and he leads them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's chariot tires are mired in the mud in the ocean. They drown. But they go into the desert, and there's nothing there. And they're in fear of starving, and so God sends manna. Manna, something. Don't know a lot about it, but he sends this manna. Here's the text out of Exodus 16. They wake up in the morning and the manna is there. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents. The Israelites did so, some of them gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who had gathered much had nothing over, and those who had gathered little had no shortage. They had gathered as much as each of them needed. Exodus 16. So the manna is there. And not only that, God told them, take what you need for the day and consume that. Don't try and store it. I'll bring you more in the morning. Some didn't believe that, and they found that overnight it went bad, to say the least. But God brought them the manna. Will there be enough for tomorrow? You can imagine. They take an omer, and they gather an omer of the manna. And is there going to be some tomorrow? Will the Lord provide? It's a challenge. Those who gathered much had enough, but nothing left over. And those who gathered a little had no shortage. Did you hear how that worked out? There was enough. There was enough for each day. And this is a tremendous lesson in faith. Faith. How many of you like to plan ahead a little bit? It's not a bad thing. It's okay, you know. Well, I was born and raised, and planning ahead was something. When we were growing up, it never failed that I would not know that we were out of toilet paper until all of a sudden it was an emergency. And then Dad was jumping in the car and heading to the store. Does that ever happen in anybody else's houses? Years ago, I learned to have a secret stash stored away. Planning ahead a little bit, not knowing for sure. So there's some of that, and that's all right. We do have to do some of that planning. And kids, I think that they don't say anything because they have faith in their parents. I know that when my kids were growing up, they didn't worry about running out of toilet paper because they knew Dad would get it, and if they were out, Dad would run and get some. They had faith that their parents would provide. Our God in heaven will provide. Having a little bit of faith, gathering an omer, and just for that day's food, we can trust in God to provide for us. The Hebrews could trust in God, in fact, had to learn to do that with the manna. They had to learn, it'll be there in the morning. You're going to be all right. You see, that's what Paul was echoing when he talked to them in Corinthians. The people in Corinth, he sent that letter. The one that had too much did not have too little, and the one who had little did not have too little. There was enough. There was enough, and it is about us having enough. God gives us enough. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. I remember thinking when I bought my first house, I was thinking, how am I ever going to pay this off? I mean, this is a huge chunk, and I don't have enough to be able to. And you know what? I've managed, and there's always been enough. We've always made it work. Now, sometimes we had to work a little harder to do things a little differently. That's not saying we sit back on our laurels. And there's another bit about that Paul reminds everyone that there's enough for everybody to be generous. In fact, Jesus tells a whole parable about that. Do any of you remember that? It was about not having much at all and yet being able to even give a little bit. Do you remember the widow's mite? They're standing there, and the people are coming, and they're putting their offering in the plate, and this poor widow woman, she doesn't have anything. She has, all she has is two small copper coins, and she walks and she puts one in the offering plate. She didn't have hardly anything, but she had enough to be a little bit generous. And I bet she felt like $1 million to be able to do that. I can still give a little bit. I have enough. I can trust in the Lord. And Paul's good. He says, no pressure on you. This is not about pressuring you for do this or do that or give more or you're hoarding or whatever. It's between you and God. This is kind of sounding like a stewardship sermon, isn't it? Didn't plan that. Not really the focus of my direction, but this is straight out of the scripture, so it's there. It's talking to us, and it's Jesus talking to us. So enough. Enough manna for the day. Don't need to store up more for tomorrow. Being prepared is okay. Now, this is a picture of Wind Cave. Have any of you been in Wind Cave in South Dakota? There's some tourist destinations there. Years ago, we went and saw the dead presidents in stone, Mount Rushmore. And then we went and we saw Crazy Horse. And then we went and rode the train. And we did all of the other fun things. But we decided to go in the cave. And we were getting ready to pay our admission, National Park there. And there was the tour. And sidewalks with railings and lights and, you know. And then there was a little note at the bottom that for some people you could take a primitive cave tour. No improvements. No, it was you and the cave and a forest ranger to lead you, park ranger. So we decided to take the primitive tour. I wasn't quite sure how it's all going to work out. We got underground and I was a little worried what Melissa would think about all that. She was the first one in, going, and we had to hold her back. She's part mole, I think. She comes, gets it from her grandpa, mining engineer. I've always been comfortable underground, so I wasn't worried about it. But we went underground. I planned ahead. I got set. We got to the beginning, and the ranger said, now he says, you need to know that we're going to go under here, and this is pretty primitive. He says, but I'm required to have 3 sources of light. So if my flashlight goes out, and he turned out his flashlight, he says, I have a backup. So he turned on the backup. And he says, if this goes out, I'm required to have a third. And so I have some glow sticks. He said, so we're covered. I got you, you know, we're going to be okay here. We've been in this. We know what's been here. We're going to explore around. So we went in and we had fun and we went through it. And I thought about that. And I thought about being prepared with 3 sources of light required by the Park Service. It was kind of funny. I only had 2 sources of light. I had one, and then I had another one, and I thought, maybe I should carry a third. But you see, I was a Boy Scout back in the day. Have any of you Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts? By the way, you know, it's no longer called Boy Scouts. It's now called Scouts of America. Thank you. And at any rate, be prepared is the motto. And I always thought that was a good one. And you know, it's a good one to do that, but how does that apply to the manna in the wilderness? How are we prepared if we just say, I'm not going to prepare and have any extra for tomorrow? Because that's an act of faith. And God demonstrated that God is worthy of that faith. Our preparing is important and it's something we should do and it's something we do. God gives us brains. God knows that we have to do things to be ready. This morning it seemed like everybody was showing up the last minute. We were sort of prepared, weren't we, to get started, but it all worked out. The family together, we're gathered. It's all right to not have to count on everything. This is not about urging you to give up all your responsibilities and sit back and say, somebody will take care of me. Years ago, we were driving to go shopping one morning on Saturday, and there was a truck off to one side, a camper with the hood was up, the And I thought, well, and it was a couple with two young kids, and we pulled over and said, you having trouble? And the woman says, well, I don't really have any trouble. Not yet, Miss Paya. We're a little ahead there. Anyway, pulled up in the truck, and the woman says, well, we're not in trouble. She says, we're broke down, but she says, the God will send someone shortly. And it was hot, and they had no water. And I thought, I guess we're the ones that they sent. But God also gave you a brain, and you could be doing a little bit proactively here. So throwing yourself just down on the ground and saying, God, you take care of it all. No, we have to pay our bills. We need to buy food. We need to take care of our health. There are things God gave us a brain to do and be about. But having faith, that's a different deal. Being prepared is something that we do happen. This is what being prepared means in our faith journey, isn't it? Listening, learning, studying Scripture, walking in the path of the Savior, praying, being about being His children, making sure that we know the voice of the shepherd, being prepared. So all of that turns and comes to the next part of having enough and being enough. And one of the things that I know about a lot of United Methodists is we're hesitant. We don't feel like we know quite enough Scripture. We're not quite schooled enough to be educated on any topics. We're hesitant to be about who we are as a people. And we're hesitant to reach out for that reason. There are others that will come and try and bamboozle us with their faith and what they've memorized and what they've been taught and how they've been taught to expound that. And we get a little bit hesitant. We need to know that we have enough. We know enough, we've experienced enough, we've heard enough, we've learned enough, and we know the love of the Lord. We have enough. We have enough financial resources. We have enough prayer resources. We have enough, we know enough to be able to reach out in love and care. I am learning that on a daily basis, run across people with different language, usually Spanish, of which I know just enough to get me in trouble. And immediately, as soon as I begin to talk to someone in Spanish, I realize I am really in trouble. But it's enough to know that I care for them and that they're willing, and between us, we can figure it out. God gives us enough. We have enough. We are blessed with enough. Amen?